He kōna I purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Whanganui will welcome more refugee families to the city soon. But in the wake of the Christchurch terror attack, should new refugees be worried? In this week's Voices, Claire Crofton heads to the Lower North Island to hear from refugees who have already settled here.
In less than a year, families fleeing conflict and persecution will arrive in Whanganui and call this small coastal city their new home. But many of the 100 refugees due to resettle here in 2020 will have been following the news in Christchurch. How will they feel when they're told that this is the country they'll be moving to? Isn't the next chapter of their lives meant to be safe? Shouldn't they feel free to practice whatever faith they may have without fear? I spoke to the mayor of Whanganui, Hamish McDool, to hear what he had to say to those soon to settle in his city.
I think New Zealand's probably safer today than it was the day before the massacre, in that we're now aware of things. You know, semi-automatic rifles are to be banned and a veil of naivety has been lifted. Equally, I think the response to the terrible events of Christchurch from the entire community should show anyone who's wanting to move here that, you know, this is a place that can embrace all faiths and all peoples. And I think it's just been an overwhelming and powerful response from everybody, ordinary citizens to the top politician, and that gives me a lot of hope for the future. Nevertheless, we've got to work very hard to keep people safe and to break down the cloud of bigotry and hate and prejudice that fueled this massacre.
Mayor McDool told me how he felt over the phone about the shooting, as I'd travelled to Whanganui just 2 days before the attack. Then he told me about how much he was looking forward to welcoming refugees to his city.
Yeah, look, I was quite excited. Morally, this is correct. Economically, it's correct. Having refugees and increasing the population in a place like Whanganui actually increases the overall wealth of the community. So we do have quite a need for skilled workers, and people make the blithe and patronising assumption that these people won't be skilled. Well, I know that we will have, without a shadow of a doubt, people with skills. Equally, we might have people with no skills. Whanganui's employment market can cope with both.
And how's the community feeling about the new arrivals?
It's been really positive, the individuals. I mean, if you read Facebook, you'd think, oh, yeah, right, there's a lot of negativity. If you read my inbox, you'd be thinking completely different way. So many people actually putting out their hand saying, look, we'd love to be involved. Classic example, we had a house that's vacant. It's a Housing New Zealand, or at least a government house. And the neighbours contacted me saying, we would love a refugee family here.
So you mentioned there was negative reactions on social media to the fact that Whanganui would be welcoming refugees. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
So some of the response, particularly on social media, has been xenophobic, and I'm not going to address that. They can just go and resolve their own personality crisis, quite frankly. However, some of it was about housing. And it's in that area that, in fact, the refugees are not taking houses from people who are living here. The investment in housing will be occurring before the refugees arrive. There's not a single refugee family who'll be left at the bus station saying, go and enter the rental market. So that's where government money follows the refugees. And luckily, I think it's been a wake-up call around our housing provision. It's allowed us to really grasp that nettle and see what we as council can do, and also advocate to the government for better provision of housing. So Housing New Zealand are investing in Whanganui. Last year they built 10 new houses and opened up some 600 sections to the west of the city.
And what are your hopes for the refugees that will settle here in Whanganui?
I hope it's overwhelmingly positive to say, look, hey, you're here. I hope they don't experience xenophobia or criticism of their cultural mores. And I hope when they close the door at night, they feel safe and at peace, because they deserve it.
The new refugees will be from countries like Sri Lanka, Syria and Colombia, and won't know much about New Zealand, let alone Whanganui. So what can they expect from their new home? Palmerston North is just next door, and there's a settled refugee community there already.
Hi, my name is Devin Rai, and originally from Bhutan.
My name is Abdul Rashid. Sharif. I am Gross in Burma.
My name is Jean-Christophe Masimba from Congo.
Devon, Abdul and Jean-Christophe come from different countries. But the three are united in the fact their journey to Palmerston North was neither direct nor easy. Devon escaped ethnic cleansing in Bhutan and lived in a refugee camp in Nepal for 24 years. Abdul escaped religious persecution in Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, fleeing to Malaysia, where he lived for 18 years with no access to medical care, public services, or basic rights. And Jean-Christophe worked as the political aide to the president, Pascal Lissouba, in Brazzaville, in the Congo Republic. When the president was deposed in the oil wars, Jean-Christophe fled to nearby Gabon, where he still feared for his life and his family's safety. Given the option to resettle in New Zealand, reactions were mixed. For Devon, the move offered a chance for a better life, but it also meant uprooting again and leaving people behind.
We had no other choice. We were not allowed to go back to Bhutan. And also, even in staying in Nepal as a refugee so many years, we don't have identity, you know. Our brothers and sisters were identityless, you know. They were in a confusion of who we are. We were in a confusion state, whether to go to the third country or whether to stay in Nepal or what shall we do.
Abdul also had to really think about it. He didn't know anything about New Zealand before he was offered the chance to live here.
I never expect it is in my whole life, even my dream also, I never think one day I will going to settle in New Zealand. Don't know, we never hear about the New Zealand.
At least Jean-Christophe knew a bit.
It's the farthest country in the world. There are more sheep than people. Yeah. I was just thinking, oh, it can be interesting.
But now, a good few years into their new lives, all three are settled and fully employed. Abdul works for an interpretation agency by day, and by night, he works as a security guard at Massey University, clocking up 50 hours of work a week. And, with the help of his driving instructor turned friend, he's pursuing his passion in local history and spends his free time browsing the city library archives. He proudly tells me he was even able to find the records of his own house, built in 1952. Devon works as a bilingual tutor at the local high school and as a youth coordinator at the Red Cross. As for Jean-Christophe, he's putting his master's degree in maths to good use, teaching at a girls' high school. He beams when he talks about work. He's delighted he can do something with his impressive skills and qualifications. The refugees soon to arrive in Whanganui will probably know as much about New Zealand as Abdul, Devon and Jean-Christophe did. So what can they expect?
When I first arrived in Auckland, I feel there was no one in the country. I feel like that, you know. There was no people walking in the street, because back in our country, there were every street if you go, you'll find even the cats and dogs will be walking around, you know. And there was lots of traffic, lots of pedestrians. But that was the first strange thing I found about New Zealand. And people are very welcoming. All those sort of smile, you know. And we arrived around 7 or 11 a.m. in the morning, and there was a bus that arrived, and there was a bus driver who was very welcoming. I still remember her face. It was very emotional as well as a very exciting moment, I would say, yeah.
New Zealand is really peaceful and nice country. All Kiwis, they treat everyone to a same and equal, not race, not religions. They feel we are human, they also human.
Even when you are taking bus, the driver greets you. So I find people who are so kind. For the new refugee who will come, what advice I can give to them, it depends on what they have done in their own country. Having peace, secure country, it's one thing. But the big challenge for the refugee is getting job. It's hard. Someone who is a doctor, and after that, he can go to clean office. It's hard. It's hard in the. It's not comfortable from someone, engineer, teacher, journalist, because he don't have English skill or English qualification. My advice is to ask what he is able to do according with his past. And it's not easy, but just be strong and believe I can. I can do something. I can get a job. I can change my life for a better life.
Don't feel lonely. Don't stay alone. You know, just keep sharing your sorrows. As long as you are sharing your feelings, that way people will know that what you are feeling so that they can support.
Don't keep the fear wherever you are alone or without your family. All Kiwis are our family. They will going to support you guys wherever, however they are going to support you.
Christchurch changed everything for so many Kiwis. Does Abdul still feel the same after the shootings? I gave him a call to find out.
Because of 1%, we do not need to worry. Everywhere some good and bad, but in New Zealand, honestly speaking, 99% are all the good people. Our government and all their police, they are really support to us. We are still one.
For many, finding refuge in New Zealand will be a bittersweet experience. No one wants to be forced from their home by war or persecution. No one wants to leave loved ones behind. No one wants to lose their identity, and no one wants to begin their careers all over again. And of course, the recent act of terrorism may have shaken people's faith in New Zealand's peaceful reputation. But, as Jean-Christophe, Devan, Abdul and Mayor McDool have made clear, despite the terror attack, there are so many Kiwis with open arms ready to welcome refugees and support them in their quest for peace, freedom and rights.
The story was produced by Claire Crofton and the engineer was Jeremy Ansell. Subscribe to every episode of Voices at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Radio Public, or at rnz.co.nz/series. And while you're there, please rate us. That way more people get to hear these stories. And if there's a story you'd like us to cover, send us an email to voices@rnz.co.nz. There are other podcasts you can hear too, like Black Sheep. It's about historical villains in Aotearoa. And after the Christchurch mosque shootings, there's a new episode about the story of white supremacy in New Zealand. But whatever you're into, there'll be something of interest. Do check us out. I'm Sarah Vitalitu, and thanks for listening to Voices. Kia manuia and ka kite anō.